are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans. Welcome to Locked On MLB postseason edition. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. If you're watching me on YouTube, you can see right down there. You can call me Sully. Today's episode, which I'm recording and probably will be dropping very late on the fifth day of October 2021, we are going to be talking about the American League wildcard game, why Alex Cora owes Phil Nevin a big steak dinner, and we preview the National League wildcard game, which is taking place later on, I guess today, whenever you're listening to this. It's happening on Wednesday. Anyway, this show is available on the free and easy-to-use Odyssey app, and I just want to say thank you for making Locked On MLB your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms, including YouTube, including all your iOS devices, including all of your Android devices. If you want to follow us on Twitter, check us out at Locked On MLB Pods. Same handle for Instagram. If you have a smart device, be sure to tell it to play podcast Locked On MLB. Or check out some of the other great shows in the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Fantasy Baseball with Scott Cullen. Although, do they have fantasy baseball in the postseason? Listen to the show anyway. They know more than me. And as I said, you can follow me at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. So the playoffs have begun, and as someone who grew up as a native New Englander, and as someone who is, I make no bones about it, I'm not a Yankee fan. I picked the Yankees to clobber the Red Sox in the wild card game, but it goes to show you it's a one game playoff. And if you had told me when the Red Sox dropped the series to Baltimore right after getting swept by the Yankees that the Red Sox would go on to the division series, I would have thought you were nuts. I was said right there, this is not a playoff team, but evidently they are. Kind of for Red Sox fans, this kind of takes the sting out of all those Giancarlo Stanton home runs in that horrible series that took place earlier. Let's break down just a couple of things here. First of all, give credit where credit is due. A great performance by Nathan Eovaldi, great performance by most of the Red Sox relievers, and great for Xander Bogaerts to put the Yankees on their heels right away, down 2-0 in the first, put the seed of doubt in Gerrit Cole's head. And one of the big narratives of what happened in, if we're going to look at the autopsy regarding the Yankees, is that Gerrit Cole, who is their massive ace, Cy Young contender, could very well win the Cy Young in 2021. He had that kind of a season. He did not end the season particularly well, and he wasn't really good tonight. He got 6 outs. You want to get more than 6 outs from your ace. And the fact of the matter is he didn't get the job done. He did not get the job done. And Boone, who I have more than my share of issues with as a manager, did the right thing. Got him out in the third with no outs in the third. He didn't have it. And when it is a potential elimination game, you can't manage like it's a game in June or July. You can't allow Cole to pitch his way out of it. He didn't have it. He didn't have it. And as it turned out, Holmes came in and did a fantastic job out of the bullpen, giving them the Yankees 2 shutout innings, inducing a double play, and allowing the game to stay close. Remember, it was 3-1 in that fateful 6th inning. It was still a close game. The Yankees were within striking distance until the Red Sox put together a couple runs towards the end. It's funny. Giancarlo Stanton hit 2 drives that in any other park would have been a home run. In fact, John Sterling thought one of them was a home run in the first inning. You're going to hear that clip from John Sterling calling the fly ball single a home run. I have some sympathy for John Sterling, but at the same time, your job as a radio announcer is to describe exactly what's happening for the people who can't watch it. You're their eyes. And when he's saying things like that, oh, it's Stantonian home run, blah, 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 blah. And you're driving your car around Teaneck, New Jersey, and you just thought the Yankees got a top of the first inning home run by Giancarlo Stanton, and suddenly they didn't. Yeah, that's not good. That's not good. And I've been a defender of John Sterling. I'm not a huge John Sterling fan, but I'm not a huge detractor of his. But that's a pretty embarrassing blunder. And, of course, people are going to bring up his fact that he's over 80 years old in the booth. You know, I mean, look, I don't think someone should be removed from their job because they're over 80 years old. But at the same time, someone shouldn't keep a job like that for life. All right, but that being said, John Sterling didn't lose that game. But the point I was making is that Giancarlo Stanton hit two bombs, the one that Sterling thought was a home run, and then later the ball that ricocheted off the wall, that I believe in most other parts those would have been home runs. And then he hit a fly ball down the right field line, which in most parks would have been a double, but in Fenway Park was a home run. So I guess in some ways there was some justice for Stanton. But here's the deal. I want to talk about one thing that is, I'm not going to steer this towards old man Sully territory. I'm not. I understand the metrics of pulling pitchers at a certain time. I get it. I also get that you cannot manage a elimination game like it's a normal game. I also get that. And sometimes you want to make sure your starting pitcher can get you to a point that you can turn the car keys over to the bullpen and start mixing and matching. That being said, in an elimination game, you also have to play a little bit by feel. In an elimination game, you have to make some decision that makes you say, hey, look, I know our goal was to do, you know, X, Y, and Z with this pitcher, but if they're pitching really, really well, maybe we roll the dice with them. Maybe we try to stretch them as long as possible. This was my biggest problem with the pulling of Snell in the World Series last year, that it was an elimination game for the Rays. Snell was looking fantastic. And, you know, why not see if you can squeeze a couple of more run, you know, a couple more outs out of him? And they didn't. They pulled him, and it cost them the World Series. Well, I'll bring up today's game against Cora, and I'll also remind you that the previous night in the World Series, in game five of that World Series last year, I felt Dave Roberts pulled Clayton Kershaw out far too early. Excuse me, far, far too early. And I called him out on it. Now, as it turned out, it didn't cost the Dodgers the game. And as it turned out, the Dodgers went on to win the World Series. That doesn't mean he made the right decision, just because it happened to work out in his favor. The same thing could be said about Cora tonight. Look it, the Red Sox bullpen has had moments of being very good and has had moments of being pretty rotten. They pitched quite well in that finale against the Nationals after Garrett Richards got palmed. And they turned to the likes of Eduardo Rodriguez and Nick Pivetta out of the bullpen. There were a lot of pitchers out of the Red Sox pen who were rested and ready to go. But you also had Eovaldi, who was just dealing, striking out tons of batters, not allowing any base runners, didn't walk a single batter the whole game, was getting a lot of early pitch outs. His pitch count was not that high. And he had just left a home run to Rizzo. Okay, that happens. And he let up a little dribbler infield hit to Judge. And then they yank him. That was the wrong thing to do. At that moment, Eovaldi was still the best talent. I'm not going to try to evoke, you know, Bob Gibson would have blanked. Bob Gibson would have been pulled too, okay? If he pitched now, he would have been pulled too. And I understand that you're going to manage and not necessarily want to have the pitcher go nine innings. Have him get through six. Have him get through six at least. And allow the other pitchers to come into an inning clean. Put them on their heels. As it turned out, the metrics kicked in, even though he had low pitch count and they weren't hitting him that hard. And the Cora came in and made the pitching change. And I thought that as it was happening, I thought it was a terrible decision. And I thought it was probably going to cost them the game. And they brought in Brazier, and Brazier's been a fine pitcher, but Eovaldi, I mean, what was his pitch count? Eovaldi threw, at that point, had 71 pitches. Forget 100 pitches, 90. He hadn't even hit the mid-70s in his pitch count. And you're going to pull him? And they brought in Brazier, and Stanton hit what looked like it was going to be another home run, hit it off the wall. Okay, it's a double. And we're sitting there looking, it's going to be second and third, one out. A base hit would tie the game and basically negate the great performance by Eovaldi and turn into a battle of the bullpens, of which the Yankees had the advantage. Cora made a decision that almost that I thought was going to cost the Red Sox the wild card game. Now, what happened? It turns out someone else made a dumber decision, and that was Yankees third base coach Phil Nevin, who sent Judge home on the Stanton hit. It would have been second and third, one out. Base hit would have tied the game. A deep fly ball would have made it a one-run game. Nevin sent Judge to the plate, and he was out by so much, it was ridiculous that when they showed the play in the instant replay, Judge wasn't even in the shot. That's how far behind he was. And he was tagged out, and that essentially killed the ride. They got Joey Gallo out, and the Red Sox never looked back after that. They got one run where their third base coach, Fabulous, was super aggressive, but it's okay to be aggressive when you have a few run lead. When you're desperately trying to catch up and save your season, Nevin made a huge boneheaded mistake and basically saved Cora's butt. Because if the Yankees had rallied, their offense woke up, they didn't have to face Eovaldi anymore, and they tied the game at that point, Yankees probably would have won. The chain reaction of events of the offense waking up and not having to face Eovaldi anymore, it would have been a disaster for the Red Sox. Now, as it turned out, the Red Sox wound up working, but it doesn't mean it was the right decision. You know, Brazier got credited with 2/3 of an inning, no runs. Well, he was given a big help from Yankee third base coach Phil Nevin. Houck pitched the seventh inning, and when he, once he was through a perfect game into the fifth inning the other day, and this time, how many he threw? 11, he threw 15 pitches, and I was like, bring him out again. I mean, he's pitching so well. Now, as it turned out, the Red Sox scored 2 runs on the Verdugo hit after Houck had pitched. And so at that point, they're like, okay, we're going to use Robles for one inning. We're going to use Whitlock for another. At that point, you didn't have to use Ottavino. You didn't have to use Chris Sale. You didn't have to use Nick Pivetta out of the bullpen. You know, you didn't have to use Barnes out of the bullpen. You know, your big-time relievers that you normally lean on didn't have to come into the game. And so in that instance, it worked for Cora, but he got lucky. He got lucky that the runner got thrown out at third. Because quite frankly, the Yankees should have rallied at that point. But they didn't. And Stanton wound up getting a home run by a little cheapo into right field. But at that point, it was a fait accompli. And the final score was 6-2. And the Red Sox are moving on. And a lot is going to be said about what needs to be done with the Yankees. Should they re-sign Rizzo? You know, there are other players they need to make a decision on. What's going to happen with Cashman and Boone? As we go through yet another year with the Red Sox, I'm sorry, with the Yankees, don't win the pennant. I don't think the Red Sox are either, and I'll get to that in the next segment. But the fact of the matter is there's going to be many autopsies done on this Yankee team, but it can start for real now, because whether it was the pitching that was shaky in the start and the relief pitching allowed the Red Sox to tack on a few, whether it was the bats who were basically, save for 2 solo home runs, completely inconsequential, or the announcers calling the game incorrectly, it was a bad overall night to be with the Yankees. And let me just tell you, some of those people involved with the Yankees, they look like they were running out of gas. They could use a boost. Maybe they should get a Built Bar, because Built Bars are the best tasting protein bars out there. You know, there's so many great flavors: coconut, cherry, barcia, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, German chocolate, or my personal favorite, which is raspberry. You haven't tried all the flavors, you get a mixed box, you get two of each of the 9 flavors, and you can check out how tasty and healthy they are. 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180, 4 or 5 grams sugar, 4 or 5 grams net carbs. Order today, get the grasshopper, cookie, or raspberry, whatever you want. Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team, which I think is pretty cool. Go to built.com, use promo code... What was it? Use promo code LOCK15. Sorry, you get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com. All right, no need to talk about the Yankees anymore. They're eliminated. The Red Sox are going to be locking antlers with the Tampa Bay Rays. And as it turns out, they're going to have some good pitchers available. And by not pitching a ton of innings for Nathan Eovaldi, he can probably come back to pitch to game 3 in Boston. Now, I honestly don't think the Red Sox have the pitching to match up with the Rays. I don't. I don't think they can effectively keep them down. I also don't think you're going to have a manager making some of the decisions the way that Boone did. And maybe you'll have a third base coach that knows when to put up the stop sign. Let me tell you, it's always a bad thing when you find out who the third base coach is during the game. That's not something people are supposed to know, okay? The Red Sox, you know, look, they could turn to Sale, they could turn to Eovaldi, they could turn to Pivetta and pitch very well. But the thing is that even if they get into the bullpen, Tampa's bullpen is just better. It's just better. I think the Rays are going to the World Series, and I think this is going to be, well... I think this was the Red Sox World Series this year. There were some people who were complaining that maybe the Red Sox were celebrating a little too hard after winning the wild card game. But the fact of the matter is, this is going to be the biggest thing for this particular year for the Red Sox, because I really don't see them going much further than that. And the Rays have so much depth in their starting staff and so much depth in their bullpen that, let's just face it, they're going to move forward. It's going to be all them. And so, you know, I had picked the Yankees to play the Rays and the Rays sweeping them. I'll switch out the names of the teams. I think the Rays are going to sweep the Red Sox. I just don't see them putting together a winning team. But then again, I thought the Red Sox were going to be clobbered by the Yankees today, 7-1. So there you have that. But, you know, you'll see... Cora should be able to trust his pitchers a little more and allow things to happen. But I just, in some ways, I don't think it matters, because the Rays are just better. And while I'm going to be rooting hard for the Red Sox, I, you know, can be pretty certain that this Tampa Bay team is equipped to make a really, really long run in the postseason. In fact, I'm willing to bet on it. I'm willing to put my money where my mouth is and bet on it. And if I bet on it, I'm going to go to Bet Online, which is the number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. The new update, site and interface, and more odds, props, and contests, Bet Online continues to be the number one source for all things football. Head to the website, use your mobile device to sign up today, receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Then don't forget to use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From football, baseball, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Las Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline is where the game starts. All right, Wednesday is going to be the wild card game between Los Angeles and St. Louis. And the Cardinals had the pretty much the exact same finale record, overall record, and September record that they had in 2011 when they stunned everybody to win the World Series and unseated a Goliath in the Philadelphia Phillies before going on to defeat the Rangers, and along the way played one of the great Game Sixes in baseball history, which is Game Six of 2011. Does this mean the Cardinals are going to win? Does this mean the Cardinals are going to be the World Series representatives in the National League? Probably not. I think the Dodgers are going to win because Max Scherzer's on the mound. But Scherzer's had a couple of iffy outings, and Adam Wainwright is a been-there-done-that kind of pitcher. And, you know, there's you look around and say, who's going to be the big star of this? Who's going to be the player who's going to step up? And the Goldschmidts and the Arenados and the O'Neills and the Molinas are all more than capable of stepping up and getting the big, huge hit. I just think the Dodgers are going to be too much. But it's one game. It's one freaking game. The 106-win Dodgers are not guaranteed a spot in the division series, but the 80-some-odd win Atlanta Braves are. I mean, we've mentioned how crazy injustice this is, but in the end, this is the hand that they're dealt with. And, you know, it's going to be interesting. I think Scherzer's up for it. I think Scherzer wants to have that signature moment as a pitcher, have that absolutely dominating moment to send Los Angeles onto the division series, move on against San Francisco, and have that be basically what should be the NLCS starting at the end of the week. But, you know, the fact of the matter is it could go either way because of the pedigree of Adam Wainwright. So, you know, it's tough. It's a coin flip. I thought the Red Sox were going to get killed by the Yankees 7-1, and here we are. And the Red Sox are going to go on, play the Rays, where I think they'll get swept. And if the Cardinals find a way to win, just the complexion of the National League postseason, even though I picked the Brewers to win it all, I think the Giants would absolutely clobber the Cardinals. And then we'll see. Absolutely, we'll see. But there will be a tremendous amount of scrutiny placed on Dave Roberts if he happens to blow the wild card lead. But it would be undeserving, I think. Boone with the Yankees? Maybe. Maybe. I mean, there are some good managerial candidates out there. And quite frankly, Boone hasn't done anything to distinguish himself in the managerial reins. I know I was praising him just the other day, but here we are. The team fell apart when it mattered the most. Is that Boone's fault? I don't know. But maybe a change will do the Yankees good. I have no idea. I have no clue. I suspect Boone will be back. That's why I suspect he'll be back along with Cashman. And this is going to be more of the same come next year. We'll see. But it's going to be more of the same for right now. I wanted to get this out, get my thoughts going right away. It's always a bad sign for your team if people are talking about the third base coach. If people know who the third base coach is, something really bad happened with your team because nobody wants to know that. Nobody. But we know Phil Nevin. And I'm already starting to see that Gerrit Cole is getting the lion's share of the blame, and I understand that, but the bats other than Stanton and Judge and Rizzo were complete non-factors. And so maybe that's why Nevin sent him to say, hey, we're going to need this run. Because if the other bats are any indication, we're not going to be thrown in any other way. But, alas, we're going on to the wild card game. And then the real fun begins when the playoff series start. And those are series that can develop a character, that can develop a sense of direction. It's tough to do that with one game. It's a great format, but it's tough to do with one game. But it's not tough to follow us at the Free and Easy Use Odyssey app and follow wherever you get your podcasts. And once again, I just have to say, I want to thank you all for making Locked On MLB your first listen every day because we're free and available on all platforms. Breaking down the American League wild card, which turned out, well, Alex Cora, you're one lucky guy. One lucky guy that there's a member of the Yankees coaching staff that made a worse decision than you. And that probably saved your hide. So the Red Sox are moving on. Cardinals and Dodgers, one of them wants to move on. I think it's going to be the Dodgers, but who knows? My ability to pick things has been lacking, but not my ability to do podcasts. This has been Locked On MLB for the, well, I guess it's still the fifth day of October 2021. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.